Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Isn't the center of our life, I strongly suggest, I urge you, I beseech you, that means I plead with you, make him the center of your life. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise, because he is worthy of all of our praises. Oh yes, he is. From the rising of the sun this morning until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Give him praise in this house. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you wouldn't mind, I want you to turn your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, tablet or phone, if you just look up on the screen, you'll see the scriptures flash up there. So would you please stand, if you would, and if you could, for the reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And as you do so, allow me to read this aloud in your hearing. We're looking at John, the 4th chapter, verses 3 through 5, and we'll come back later in backfill to give you a better understanding. But in John 4, 34 through 35, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Eternal God, we are grateful and thankful to you for the gathering on today. And we realize, God, it's no goodness of our own, but it's by your mercy and grace that we are gathered here today, yet in the land of the living. So, Lord, please allow us to take full advantage of this opportunity to come to know you in a real, real way. If there are those that have yet to repent of their sins or be baptized in Jesus' name and to be filled with the Holy Ghost, today is that day. And we ask you, God, Lord, right now, please lend me your anointing, because it's through your anointing, Lord, that yokes and fetters and chains are broken, and it comes as a result of your unadulterated word. And Lord, we again thank you in advance in Jesus' name. Before you're seated, just let me read those two verses again. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. I'd like to give you a thought today, and it simply is the urgency of now. The urgency of now. God bless you. You may be seated. Well, when I begin to think about that particular thought, there are two words that literally leap out, and it requires us to get a true understanding. And the two words that leaped out to me were the word urgency, and the other was now. When we think of the word urgency, it's something of importance. It's top priority. It's imperative. It requires a swift action. And the other word was now. At this present moment in time. Somebody say right now.
Right now.
Right now. Brothers and sisters, guests and visitors, and to those that are on our live stream, Facebook, YouTube, and even our Anchor podcast, it has become so easy for us to overlook the urgency of now. We feel as though we have ample time, so we put off taking care of the important things that pertain to salvation for others as well as ourselves. Let me be clear. None of us know the day or the hour in which we'll leave here. The Bible says life is but a vapor. We're here today and then we're gone tomorrow. So now is the time. Somebody say, right now.
Right now.
So now is the time. Today is the day to deal with the urgency of now. Don't be like King Agrippa. Many of you remember that account. King Agrippa said these very words to the Apostle Paul. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Instead of responding to the urgency of now, he chose to wait, put it off for a more convenient time. Now, how many of you know that there's never a more convenient time than it is in this present moment that we're living in? So, with that being said, let's review our text in John. It's very apparent that Jesus' mindset was focused on the urgency of now. Where do you get that from? You see, if we go back in the opening of John, the fourth chapter, it's clear that Jesus himself said these very words. He must need go through Samaria. Now, there are commentators, there are Bible scholars, they have different renderings in why they feel that Jesus went through Samaria. Some said that it was to avoid the Pharisees who were trying at that time to kill him. And others think that it was because he just wanted to go through that area. But brothers and sisters, when he said he must need go through Samaria, we've got to look at from a geographical perspective. Samaria lied directly between Jerusalem and Galilee. And in order to make the shortest possible trip, a person could simply pass through Samaria territory on their way from the city. Now, many of you are travelers. Many of you like to hit that GPS and find the shortest route. Am I right? Talk back to me now. You know we don't like to go to the scenic route. There's some of us, we put it in, and as we're driving, we say, man, this is the long way. Am I just by myself, or do I got somebody that identifies with that? Because you wanted to go the shortest route. Well, when we look at this, Samaria going through would have literally been the shortest route. However, the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. And perhaps, I wasn't there, but maybe, just maybe, perhaps the disciples were turning over the question in their minds. But why? Why must we go through Samaria? Why not just take the scenic route, which was to cross the Jordan into Perea, avoiding all and any encounter with the despised Samaritan people? Now, you might be sitting there and you may not know, or you may know, or there might be a question and you're wondering, why were the Samaritans so hated? Somebody say, why? I'm glad you asked. Because the Samaritans were half Jews and half Gentiles, both from the religious standpoint. This made them unclean, hated, outcast in the eyes of the common Israelites. Then the question again arises, why would Jesus feel obligated to go through this region? If there were other options, somebody said there were some other options. In short, Jesus understood the urgency of now. He had a divine appointment with the Samaritan woman at the well. Now, let me just kind of, I'll backfill. When you go to John, the fourth chapter, and you begin to go down, you'll see where the Pharisees were very upset because of Jesus' ministry and that many people were being baptized. But if you read the scripture, it says Jesus baptized none of them. The disciples did. And they were just angry. And they wanted a reason to kill him. And so Jesus made up in his mind that he was going to go through Samaria. He actually said he must need go through Samaria. Now, there was going to be a lady that was going to be coming to the well called Jacob's Well. And as she was on her way to Jacob's Well, there was Jesus. The Bible said that Jesus had been wearied of his travels. Don't forget how he traveled. And 9 times out of 10, the disciples were with him. But at that moment, we don't see the disciples. So Jesus is sitting on the well, Jacob's Well. And as he was sitting there, the lady comes and Jesus begins to inquire of her. Now, it was about, the Bible says it was about the sixth hour. That's normally the noontime. So that's perhaps why Jesus' disciples weren't there, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it, because Jesus, again, he's tired. Although he was God, he was also man. He was the God man. And just like you get thirsty on a hot summer day, he was thirsty on a hot summer day. Walking and just desiring now to have something to drink. So he asked the woman for a drink. And she comes back at him and says, how is it thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a Samaritan? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Now, we already crossed that bridge, why they felt that way. Now, Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift, everybody say the gift. The gift of God. And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now, what this does, it opens up an opportunity. I'm telling you, you're looking for an opportunity, but an opportunity is already here for you to witness the folk. He takes this opportunity, and she begins to say, well, sir, the well is deep. Back then, it was about 100 feet deep. And she noticed he didn't have a tool to get the water. So she said, how are you going to get this living water out of here? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Now, Jesus, he entertained the conversation, but I love what he tells her. And I have to read that, because you need to understand that when he's offering her this living water, now her curiosity is there. Somebody say it takes some time to get people's curiosity worked up. And then when it is worked up, then you can drop the word right on them. Now listen to the conversation now. He's saying that to her. The woman's coming back saying, you don't have anything to draw this water with. In verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He was talking about that daily chore that she had to go to with her water pots to draw water. If you drink of that water, you're going to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give them shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, here is where we find the woman's curiosity has got the best of her. She said, give me that water that I'll never thirst again. She was all in. But guess what happens? And Jesus says, okay, but go get your husband. Bring him here. She said, husband, I have no husband. Jesus said, you answer that well, because you have had five husbands, and the man you're living with now ain't the one. See, Jesus was direct. Sometimes you just need folk to be direct. When you're living in sin, you need to know directly, how can I get up out of sin? So now, after that bit of 411, she now is stopped dead in her tracks. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet, because you have told me everything about me. And the conversation went on and on. And after that, she began to say these words. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah, which is called Christ, when he is come, he will tell us all things. Newsflash, Jesus said, wait a minute, the one you're speaking to, I am he. And as soon as he said that, here comes the disciples with their happy meal. No one questioned out loud, but they were wondering, he's talking to a Samaritan. He's chopping it up with her. They needed to be informed why Jesus was doing it. So he never said one thing. They never said nothing. He never said nothing. But how many of you know he knows our hearts? Amen. Mm-hmm. So now he understands that they aren't speaking it, but they're thinking it. So now he begins to say some words to them. Because this woman, after the disciples come, let me go back. The Bible says she immediately dropped her water pails and went into the town and told everybody, come see a man. A man that told me all about myself. You need to come check him out. This is the real deal. He's the authentic. So now they leave. The lady leaves. She goes, tells everybody. Now the disciples come back. And people start coming. The townspeople, the men of Samaria start coming. The disciple says, wait a minute. Master, you got to get something to eat. Now, this is where we go back into our text, and let me just go on from here. When Jesus said, when they said that to Jesus, this is what he said. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. See, Jesus was always about doing the will of God. It was never based on convenience, but it's when God said go, he went. So he says, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Then the disciples turned around to each other and said, did somebody bring him something to eat? Did he already get a happy meal? Now listen. Then he said in verse 34, and listen to what he said. And I hope that we can glean from this. Jesus saith unto them, again, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Saints, we have a lot of work to be done before the Lord's return. Some of y'all need to stop saying, Lord, come quickly. Because if he come right now, we're going to be in trouble. Because we have not understood the urgency of now. There are people dying and going to hell because we have not understood the urgency of now. So now, in verse 35, he says, say not ye. This is to the procrastinators, to those that will use an excuse. There are yet 4 months. I got 4 months to deal with the harvest. I've got 4 months to get prepared and go do what I need to do. He says, say not ye, there are 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Start looking. Start walking and talking to folk and seeing that people are in desperate need of Jesus. I said it once, but it is haunting me. Years ago, Deacon Larry Tyler and Deacon Sammy Bell at the time, great witnesses for the Lord. I never forget, they introduced me to a young lady that had came to the church. She had a lot of issues. Somebody say issues.
Issues.
We all have them.
Yes.
But she had a drug habit. And so we hadn't seen her in a while. And so we were there pumping gas, I think, I forget, coming from a job or something. And so we saw her, and they began to say, hey, how you doing, so-and-so? And she just looked at them. She said, can't you see? She looked bad. She had got strung out on drugs again. And when she said, can't you see, what it literally was, the man, the spirit man inside said, can't you see I'm not where I used to be. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not where I need to be. Can't you see? Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Look and see the harvest. There are folk that need you. And you saying, I got 4 months. Well, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. You see, when Jesus said, I must need go through Samaria, he understood that he was going to have to teach them an object lesson. And then the object lesson was going to be a lady from Samaria, one that was going to be drawing water. She was going to be the object lesson to show them that the fields were already. People are hungry and thirsty. They want a word that will transform their life forever. She was ready. Jesus understood the importance of the urgency of now. So he must go through Samaria to meet her. It doesn't stop there. Don't forget, the object lesson goes on. Because after she hears that good word, know what she did? She ran and tell the whole town, come see a man. So it went over to not just her, but then to others. And then, as a result, what happens is those same men, they had declared in verse 42 and said unto the woman, now we believe. Now listen to why they said they believe. Not because thou said, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now they understand, listen, he is not just the Jews' Savior, but he's our Savior. Matter of fact, he's the Savior of the whole entire world. I'm telling you, Jesus' travel to and through Samaria was nothing short of an object lesson to show that the fields were already ready for harvest. There are people that you know. I don't know why you're waiting. Why are you procrastinating to share the good news with them? Oh, Pastor, you know, I'm kind of shy. Get out of it! All it is sharing what you know God is able to do. So that the travels going through Samaria gave an opportunity for witness to the Samaritan woman. And again, later on, opened the door for those men. Then Jesus, he actually gave us a preview. Anybody ever watch previews of upcoming movies? Usually, what do previews do? They get you excited about when that movie's coming out. I gotta be there on that date because the previews are so compelling. It makes you say, man, I gotta see that one. Well, that's all he did. Previews of upcoming attractions. Remember we said how Jesus said he must need go through Samaria? Upon his ascension to glory, he told the disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. He walked from here to here to here. And now as a result, the Samaritans are coming in. That was a foreshadow. I use the word a preview because we could probably identify with that. But it was just a foreshadow of what was going to happen. The Lord, believe it or not, and I'm closing, is not willing that any should perish. And that included the Samaritans. But that all should come to repentance. So you know what he did? He left his throne of glory, wrapped or robed himself in flesh. That flesh became Jesus, the God-man. He became our propitiation. That means the atoning sacrifice, the substitute for us. We should have been the ones that should have suffered on a cross for our sins. But he becomes the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. I'm done, I'm through. But I know for a fact that if we don't get in our spirit the urgency of now, family members are going to suffer, friends are going to suffer, co-workers are going to suffer, our neighbors are going to suffer, all because we have the good news, the death, burial, of Jesus Christ that we could share with people, and we choose, we elect not to, because we say the harvest, I got 4 months, then I can get to it. Please, sir, ma'am, don't pass this message to the person beside you, behind you, in front of you. There's an expression, let the buck stop here. It's stopping here today. The altar is open. The altar is open. If God has ministered to you and convicted you and convinced you, I'll be the first one. Y'all stay right where you at. God, help me, Lord, today. Please help me to understand the importance of the hour we live in. Help me to understand, Lord, the urgency of now. Lord, there are so many people in this, Lord, city of Aiken, in the county. They need you, God. They need to know you in the power and might of your Holy Spirit. God, you know where they are right now. So help me, God. Help us to reach out to these.
thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.